I'd like to read a few verses to you as you listen, and then we'll go to the text in the book of Mark. God desires and expects fruit from us as his children. Galatians 5:22 and 23 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." I invite you to turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 4. Jesus is teaching in parables in this chapter, for the most part, at least the first part here. Most of us have our roots in agriculture, either have farm roots, we hobby farm, or we do farming for real, or we are involved in gardens, so we know something about growing things. We know something about soil. We know something about seeds. And Jesus was teaching to that kind of a group here, I believe, who knew something about those things as well. And so he brought this parable to them. He taught them in this way. And we're going to read starting from verse 3. Mark chapter 4. "Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Some fell among thorns, the thorns grew up, and choked it, it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, Know ye not this parable? How then will ye know all parables? The sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately, and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they, likewise, which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when afflictions of persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Now, this is a very interesting little parable. And Jesus spoke spiritual truth to these people. Some people understood it because they were spiritually minded. Others did not because they were not spiritually minded. The Lord, in his little parable here, describes four kinds of soil. There is the wayside soil, the rocky soil, the soil that's infested with thorns or weeds, and then there is the good soil. We'd like to look at those just briefly in our time here this morning. Wayside soil is soil that has become hard. Now, some of you were raised on farms and had the opportunity to go for the cows in the morning or the evening and when they were out on the meadow. And on those kind of meadows, pastures, there were paths that often the cows would walk. And you probably remember some of those on your farm. There were places where nothing grew. Most times, even if some of those places especially, you could put seed there. I never attempted doing that, but you could put seed there, and I doubt if it would grow because it was just too hard. Soil that's become hard. In this parable, Jesus is also making very spiritual applications to us, going from the soil on a farm or a field to the soil of our heart. And in this wayside soil, we find things that beat a path, as we think about our hearts then, things that beat a path into our hearts. Sometimes it's people, sometimes it's influences, but they wear paths into our heart that become hard. And seed doesn't grow there. And so it behooves us to ask the question, my associations, are they helping to keep the soil in my heart soft and pliable? Are they beating paths into my heart that the Word of God, the seed of the Word of God won't grow in? Are they hardening me against God? Are they hardening my thoughts against the Spirit of God? And people can do that. Influences can as well. Often, I found this kind of interesting in my studies, that there's this saying that we hear sometimes, or maybe we even use it ourselves, that's for the birds. Ever use that one? You've heard it probably already. And I thought it's just a way of expression, but actually what that, the implied or the meaning behind the saying is that it's portraying an attitude against what's being said. If someone says something and I don't think much of it, I say, well, that's for the birds. It means I don't care about it, I don't want it, I don't want to hear it. It's like the soil or the seed that's falling on hard ground. In the parable of the birds, actually the fowls of the air came and devoured it. It was for the birds because it didn't sprout, it didn't take root. That kind of attitude will show if our hearts are hard. Other things besides friends and associates sometimes that can make our hearts hard, the wrong kind of associates and friends, that is, are the things that we read, the books we read. There are good and bad books. There are books that promote good morals, and there are books that don't. And so if we're going to, our choice there, we'll decide whether our hearts are going to stay, we can keep our hearts soft, or if they're going to get hard, hardened against God and what He wants for us. The same is true for the music we listen to. There's good music and there's bad. And our choices will have an effect on our hearts. Wayside soil, hard soil. The pursuit of pleasure does it sometimes, or will do it. America is a pleasure, crazy society. And we do well to make sure that we are not pursuing pleasure for the sake of pleasure. It will make our hearts hard. And there's lots of different ways you can go out and branch out on that subject, kinds of pleasure. I'm not going to do that this morning. Our personal ambitions can do that. Goals that I set for myself, not necessarily talking about spiritual goals, but I'm talking about other kinds of goals, things that I set for myself, things that are priority, that are important. I had to think of the verse in Jeremiah 45:5 where it says, "Seest," or it asks the question, "Seest thou great things for thyself?" Emphasis on self. It just says, "Seek them not." By contrast, then, think about the words of Jesus. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." It's the difference between cultivating or promoting or developing hard hearts, hard soil, or pliable soil. Our personal thought life. You know, as we think in our hearts, that's what we are, according to the Lord Jesus. So if we're thinking hard thoughts, if we're thinking bad thoughts, if we're thinking lustful thoughts in our hearts, there is hard soil. This is soil that won't yield to God. Wayside soil. I found it interesting, I don't know if all your Bibles have this or not, but I can actually read the parable and then the interpretation of the parable on the same page. I notice that, if you will. Some fell by the wayside, fowls of the air came and devoured it. And across to verse 15. By the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. So in the parable, it was birds, the fowls of the air that took it. In the spiritual application, it was Satan who came and took away the word that was sown because their hearts were hard. So let's be careful about those things. There are things that we do, that we can do, that will contribute to hard hearts or soft hearts. Let's make sure we're making the right choices. Another kind of soil was the stony soil. Find that in verse 5. It didn't have much earth, so it sprang up, and because it had no depth of earth, it was scorched by the sun. As soon as the sun came up, it didn't have root and withered. Jumping across the page there, those who have stony hearts receive the word with gladness. It doesn't have root, and so it endures but for a time or a little while. And then when tough things come, for the word's sake, they are offended or they stumble. They fall. They don't last. Stony ground. I don't know if you have experience with stony ground or not. We moved where we live now. We decided we wanted a garden out beside our meadow fence there, and it just seemed like the perfect spot for a garden. The neighbors who lived there, or the people we bought the house from, came to visit us later and said, "Why did you put a garden there? You should have asked us. We could have told you that wouldn't work very well." Well, this was a stony patch, and they had tried as well and decided not to. We decided this is where we want it, and so we fought with stones for years. And actually, it's still a stony plot, but it's good soil. But it had stones in it. We hauled load after load of stones off that first year. I went in with a tractor and a four bottom automatic reset plow to plow the garden the first year. It was turned from lawn into a garden. And such a banging around you never heard. I mean, the plow just didn't work very well. So many stones. So what does a stony heart look like? Stony soil in a heart. I believe seeds in stony, especially when the stones are, there's just lots of them. There's some problems there. There's some things that need to take place. There's some things happen there that make it difficult for seed to take root. part of that is, or one of the reasons for that is that Jesus does not have the first place in our lives. We don't put him first. How does this work out? I was trying to think of some practical applications for us today. I thought of one thing. You know, sometimes people follow men, even in churches. And men disappoint at times. So if you follow a church because of the person, the ministry leading it or whatever, you're going to be disappointed because men disappoint at times. I believe it's important that we continue to keep our focus on the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lord of the church. We're following him, we're serving him, we're living for him. I think it's important that we keep our focus on him and on his word. We serve together, and we do that the best we can. And we have patience and long-suffering for each other because we are not perfect and we make mistakes. But I believe that we will do well, we will do better. We will become more deeply rooted if we keep our focus on the Lord Jesus Christ and his word. Keep Jesus first. Sometimes it's just because we refuse to believe God's word. Now, we would not say we don't believe God's word, would we? We believe God's word. But the practical outworking of that is just actually living it, doing it. We put much stock in our Anabaptist forefathers. Sometimes I wonder if we don't put a little too much emphasis on them. I think they would be a little surprised sometimes to see how much we lift them up, if they would be here to see us doing it. We believe and admire their willingness and their commitment to study the word and to put it into practice in their own lives. And I believe that's what we need to be focusing on. We appreciate our heritage, but let's not lift them too high. The refusal to believe God's word. Sometimes we can get a little bit arrogant about it. We believe that we have at least some of the answers, maybe a lot of them, I don't know sometimes, but I was recently chatting with a group of friends, and someone made the comment that there was a teacher who came into their circles with them in mind as maybe a part of a mission field. That's why he was there, to help them become better grounded in the word. When the story was related, the group of men who were from that church, that constituency, everyone laughed. I was thinking about that later. So we don't think we need missionaries. We don't think we need people to help us to a better. I wondered about that just a little bit. Refusal to believe God's word. I have quoted him before. I remember when Charles Hamilton was here, I don't know how many years ago that was, but one of his messages, he made a statement, and I forget the context even, but he was talking about the word of God, I believe, but he just asked the question, when was the last time that you, because of the study of the word of God, changed something in your life because of that? Sometimes we change because someone else says something to us about it, but when was the last time that you made a personal change because of your study of the word of God? Are we studying? Do we believe God's word? Stony soil often includes a preoccupation with self. You know, by nature, we're self-centered. We try to take care of ourselves. If it hurts us, we try to avoid it. If it helps us or feels good, then it's a lot more acceptable. We are self-centered by nature. And then when the call of Christ comes to lose our lives for his sake, to make Christ the center, the focus, and to give ourselves in service to God and to his kingdom, there's a clash of interests comes. We are by nature selfish, and when Christ calls us to be unselfish and focus on him, allow him to be on the throne of our hearts, we struggle with that. I believe that any point or place in life where a person prefers to disobey God, to go his own way, or to do his own thing, is stony soil. And I think that's another definition for having a hard heart. The next soil is, or the next place the seed is sown is among thorns, a weed-infested patch of ground. And for a gardener, farmer, we know that weeds are a continual problem. We have ways, especially as farmers, of dealing with some of those weed problems anymore. We have sprays, if you care to use them. And there are a lot of things that you can do to take care of weeds, but it all takes work. It takes effort. Weeds don't pull themselves most times. Jesus names three kinds of weeds here. Actually gets a bit specific here with the spiritual weeds that can grow in our hearts and cause us to choke out, or allow it to choke out the Word of God as it falls into our hearts. The three mentions include the cares of this world. We believe that God knows our needs and he will take care of us. We also believe that we have that in Matthew chapter 6. He even sees the sparrow's needs and is concerned about that. We also know that each day will have its difficulties. Matthew 6:34 says, "Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." And so it doesn't help to borrow tomorrow's trouble, worry about tomorrow or about what happened yesterday. Just live the day with the fact that Jesus is in charge. God knows what's happening. In fact, he's planning your pathway. I had to think of the verse in Psalm 118, verse 24, where it says, "This is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." Some of us by nature worry more than others, but I think worry can be a habit that we need to break and give our problems, our struggles to the Lord. Let's rejoice in the day that God has given us. If we give God our best, we keep our focus upon him, he will take us from there. He will help us. The second weed he mentions there is, or thorn, the deceitfulness of riches. You know, we know that riches aren't necessarily wicked. But they are deceitful. Sometimes it's hard to know how we're supposed to relate to some of these things that we have been so blessed with. It's not really our fault that we live in Lancaster County and there's prosperous years here and the opportunity to do well financially. But I believe God has given us a unique and opportunity to use the things that he's given us to the honor and glory of his name. I don't believe he expects us to sit around and do nothing, because we can make enough in 20 hours that we don't have to work the other 20. But I believe our responsibility then is to use the things that he blesses us with to the honor and glory of God. Riches are deceitful, though, and here's where we have to be careful. They can tend to distort our thinking, to not keep us, or not allow us to think straight about what's important and not important. Sometimes they just blind us to eternal values. And so the question we have to ask is wealth my master, or is Christ? And this is a personal question. I asked a question in class this morning. I was thinking about this as I was studying for the message. So how do I know if I'm covetous or not? And these are personal questions. I think we have to answer to God. We have to figure it out. He doesn't give us all these all the answers to some of the things that we wonder about at times, but when something becomes an idol and we spend more time doing it or going after it than we do after God, then we need to be very careful. We need to be concerned. Wealth, I believe, is a trust from God. So riches that we have, that God has given us, blessed us with, they're not mine to invest, use, or squander recklessly. We have a trust, and God expects us to use them responsibly as stewards. And then there's the pull of materialism, another weed, another thorn. Talks about there in verse, the lusts of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. They say when a country's main goal is to efficiently produce goods to consume on themselves, they're in a dangerous position. If that's the goal, to just more efficiently produce more goods so we have more to consume. And this pull of materialism, just getting more things, is something I think all of us have to deal with. Just something new. Let's go shopping. Can't hurt to window shop, right? Just look. And then we end up buying things we don't need. Materialism. We get our satisfaction, our fulfillment out of stuff. Sometimes I tell my family, look, let's not buy anything for as long as we don't have to, just to see how long we can do without it. And so somehow we just end up accumulating things. So the question is, where's my heart? Is it things on things, or is it in Christ? Where are my affections, on possessions or on God? Where are my priorities? Are they the clamor of the world or the call of Christ? And in short, I believe allowing these thorns, these weeds to grow, and then trying to seed God's word into these weed-infested plots of ground, weed-infested hearts, will actually kill the fruit that God wants to see in our lives. And then we have the good ground, the fourth kind, the kind we want. It just gives us some very, very practical admonition here in verse 20. These are they which are sown on good ground, the ones who hear the word. Hear the word. It's God speaking to us. We have our spiritual ears open. We're hearing it. And receive it. To receive it means to, sometimes we look at receiving as, so if someone gives me a glass of water, I receive it. And that's partially right, I think, but I think there's something a little bit deeper there as well. To be willing to receive something means to be open and receptive to it. I'm just not getting it just to get it, but I'm open, receptive, I'm willing to change as I hear it spoken. I welcome it into my life. Hear the word, receive it, and then it brings forth fruit. Bearing the fruit is actually doing what God wants us to do. And I think that's one of the things that we admire so much about the Anabaptist heritage, the Anabaptist fathers, is that they heard the word, they were open to it, they received it, and they were willing to make the sacrifice that was needed to just live it out, just to do it in everyday life. and he bore fruit. I invite you to turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4 yet. I know that all of us want our hearts to be soft and receptive, ready to receive God's word. We're concerned about living out our Christian lives in such a way that God can be honored and glorified, and that we can grow spiritually. And I'd just like to close with these verses in Philippians chapter 4, actually one verse, an encouragement to all of us as we think about preparing our hearts, think about maintaining our hearts, maintaining good soil so that the things that God speaks to us through his word can find rest and we can receive them. We have the kind of soil in our hearts that we'll be able to receive the seed of the word of God, and it can grow and bring forth fruit. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you.